What's up? Welcome to the My Friends Are Cool podcast. My name is Alec, and I feel like I have some pretty cool friends in my life. And I want to share as many of them with the podcast world as I can. So each episode is going to have a different friend of mine on talking about the coolest thing in my life, themselves. So let's go ahead and get into this episode. What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of My Friends Are Cool. It has been a hot minute, and I will release a whole nother episode as to what has been going on and what is ahead for the podcast after this one. But I've been excited to have this guest on for a while now, it's been cool getting to know this guy. He's a pretty cool dude, which is why he's on the podcast. So, Steven, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Steven, you and I met at Long Hollow Camp.
Correct.
It wasn't random. I mean, I was bound to run into you at some point. But this summer, I don't know if I've told you this or not, but you were driving up in your truck up the hill up towards like the dining hall area. And I remember seeing you in a blue PFG, and I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, surely that's not a Crossings PFG. This is just the same color. Everyone can get those. Because that happened multiple times that summer where I thought I saw someone in a blue polo in a Crossings PFG, and I was like, oh, this person. And so when you drove up and were in a Crossings PFG, my mind was blown and was like, who is this person and how have I not met him?
Remember that.
Okay, cool. I couldn't remember if I told you that or not. But anyways, yeah, so you and I made that Crossings connection. Mm-hmm. But other than that, man, how did you get to camp? Because when I saw you, I was like, this is a very random person. Because Graham was like, yeah, our nurse has done camp before. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like for high school camp. But what connection was made? Because I actually don't know this. And I've always meant to ask, how did you get to camp this summer?
Well, you know, it's kind of a funny story. I mean, I had served previously, you know, a couple of summers back before COVID and before all the things that happened with that. And, you know, actually came to camp, basically talked to two people. I knew almost no one going into it. And kind of the story with that is I show up at camp. It's midnight. I just got off my shift in Nashville and get down to camp. And, you know, it's midnight or 1 a.m. I knew nothing about where I was staying, who I was going to be with.
Was that this year or was that in 2019?
That was in 2019. Okay. And that's when I was brand new to Long Hollow, just wanted to help serve. And so I just remember they're pulling up to these two lodges or dorms. And I'm thinking, I have no idea which ones are the males, which ones are the females. And I just literally started praying God, please do not let me walk into some female's dorm. Cause that's as soon as I got here is as soon as I'm going home. So I was it's dark outside, trying to look at the rails of okay, do these towels look like they're girl towels, guy towels, which is very difficult to do. And anyway, so thank the Lord I walked into the right place. But so yeah, so that was kind of experience with summer one. And then this year, I knew that I heard they were having camp again. And yeah. So I was excited that COVID was kind of loosening up enough for us to have camp. And so I reached out to, I tried to get a hold of whoever would let me be basically I reached out to Long Hollow and said, hey, I can do this.
Yeah.
And they were kind of I wasn't really getting much contact and things like that. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of strange. Well, then Grant reaches out to me, which I didn't know Grant at the time.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, we would love to have you. This is great. And so he's like, you know, this is, this is a good number for me to call you on, whatever. So I saved this number. Well, then I proceed for the next couple weeks to text this number with no reply. And I'm like, this dude is ghosting me. What is going on? And so anyway, so come to find out I'd saved the wrong number, the Long Hollow office number or something. Okay. I didn't know. And so Grant was like, no, we just never heard back from you, you know? So anyway, so we, yeah, I got set up, came to camp. They were gracious to let my wife come along. And so she was a student leader, and then I was the nurse. And so I remember when we met, we were pulling up to the dining hall, and here comes this 7-foot dude. And I'm he's like, hey, did you work at Crossings? And I was like, well, yeah, I did. But nobody knows what that is around here. And,
right.
And so, we kind of just bonded that over that pretty quickly. And so, yeah, that kind of brings us to where we are now.
Which, yeah, it was wild. And so you and Morgan, your wife, y'all met at Crossings, right?
Correct.
And so you guys both worked at Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've heard anyone that you've heard me talk with on this podcast have been people that worked at Cedarmore, because there are two campuses and they're both great. And so so what was like, why did you do camp? Just anytime I have someone on that has worked at Crossings, I love to like probe as to what made them make the delusional decision to go do camp, because you have to be either psychotic or an idiot to submit yourself to summer camp for an entire summer.
Yeah, we would always joke. I mean, because of the hours that we worked. I mean, we were making like pennies on the hour. Literally pennies. Sure. I mean, we were losing money being there, honestly. Yeah, like honestly. We were in the negative by the time. But no, we the whole reason we did camp, well, I grew up at a smaller church close to Nashville, and we used to go to Jay Creek growing up.
Yeah.
And so when we were going there, like, you know, you see these staffers and you're like, man, these are like the coolest people on earth. Like, I want to be them one day. And I went to camp for like 6 or 7 years as a student. And then it's actually kind of part of my testimony, but my senior year is like the guy who ends up being my best man on my wedding. I got to work on staff with him. He basically was like, hey, you know a lot about Jesus, but you don't have a relationship with him. And so it just really like just changed who I was and really was a key part of my story. And so he's like, hey, you know, this is what I want you to do this next year. And I really sought the Lord during that time. And then luckily, like, I was able to be accepted and worked at camp. And so, yeah, I got to work 2013 at Crossings. And that honestly was just like was instrumental in making my, you know, my daily walk with the Lord. And so, 2013 was that. And then, you know, I met this girl at the end of camp. She basically, there's like a whole story with that, but basically met my future wife. And I was like, hey, you need to work at Crossings. And then we kind of on and off talked that year. And there's a lot to that story. But so she ended up working in 2014. And so after 2014, we started dating, got engaged about a year later, and then got married after that. But yeah, Crossings is something that I always tell students about now. I'm like, hey, if you want to spend the best time of your life, like honestly, it follows so much more into my professional life now than I would have ever expected, like in the moment of just like, we just learned how to work with excellence through everything and no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which like half the time, like when you're in the hospital or whatever you're doing, like I always have that thought in my head. I'm like, am I doing this with excellence?
Yeah.
And so I would have never had that or never had that drive to work for literally pennies and just be sleep deprived for 3 months if I wouldn't have worked there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you kind of brought it up. So we mentioned that you were a nurse and you mentioned being in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So that obviously means you were in the healthcare field in the midst of COVID and all of that. And since then, you have just transitioned out because of things that the Lord has done. Mm-hmm. And so I have two questions, but I think the first one, which is just one that I feel like you probably got asked a lot, but I'll ask you anyways, is what was it like? What was COVID like for you in the hospital? Because everyone had different experiences, but what was yours like?
Yeah. So, worked in the ICU for a couple years when I first got out of school. I got straight into the ICU, worked in a cardiac ICU. And,
which, what does that mean for those that don't know?
Yeah. So, I worked in a heart floor that was for our, the most critically ill patients in the hospital. They would come to us after they've had heart attacks or, you know, open heart surgeries. They would either go to us or the CVICU, two kind of areas. And so basically they would come there, you know, they only would bring in a handful of new grads every year to kind of train there. And so did that for a couple of years. This is pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And kind of leading in into that, there was just a lot of things, a lot of hours, a lot of, the pay was rough. And so... Yeah.
Back to Crossings.
Yeah, not compared to Crossings. That's correct. And so we, you know, kind of transitioned from there. I started doing, I basically got hooked up with the joint replacement center at our hospital, started doing pre-op, basically prepping patients for surgery, recovering them in the anesthesia, like after anesthesia, and then worked for about a year in the OR as a second assist. So that was a lot of fun to do. Joint replacements and be, you know, literally holding sutures and running sutures and everything for the surgeons and holding instruments. And so that was a lot of fun. Well, then, basically with that, the pandemic begins. And so I start floating back to the ICU because they had a need down there that we canceled elective surgeries. Yeah. And so kind of my situation with it, at least, or my experience with it, was I was not working in this specific COVID unit, but at that point, that, you know, all of our patients in the ICU, they were all COVID rule-outs.
Right.
So these patients who had more than likely had COVID, we were just like, testing was not widely used. It was not really, you know, available yet.
Right.
We were getting through just like, okay, we're basically taking care of COVID patients, but they're not considered COVID patients yet.
Right.
And so did that just for a brief time, and you know, quickly realized that you know, I did my time in the ICU. I was ready to kind of just be done with that chapter, and you know, the Lord literally opened up an opportunity for me to work in software, and so that's just kind of what I'm currently doing now. And just recently, a few months ago, just put my 2 weeks in the hospital after being there for about 5 years. And now I'm doing full time software. I'm working more in the country, and it's killer. It's way better than the hospital.
So what was that like? So then this was the second question, which I know is something that you wrestled through. Of like, not, you don't have to go into detail, but how, if you felt like nursing was the calling the Lord put on your life, and you went to college, went to all that, went through that whole schooling and everything, and then ultimately, like, now you're out of it, how do you, like, how do you wrestle with that, or how did you? Because, like, I know that that's something that a lot of people go through, of, like, this is what I thought the Lord wanted me to do, but now I feel like he's calling me into this other thing. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to discern this. So, like, what was that discernment process like for you? And you can give as much detail as you want.
I mean, I would say a lot of it for me had to do with I'm very kind of decision driven when I come to making any type of you know, steps of faith. And I'm always kind of thinking, you know, 10 steps ahead, what's going to happen next?
Right.
I don't just kind of loosely make decisions when it comes for anything in life. And so, basically, when it came from me going from the hospital to software, you know, when the, like you said, I mean, I went to one of the toughest nursing schools in the Southeast, and went through one of the programs that was, you know, it was insane, and I was miserable for 2 years. And, and I think back on those times and just like how stressed I was to know like where the Lord has me now. But basically during that time, I honestly just said, you know, Lord, if this is your will, I want you to make it so clear that there's no questioning for me. And, I mean, I feel like the Lord could not have made it any more clear from me getting offered this position, my mom almost dying and, you know, just a terrible kind of just, health situation. And the getting offered this position and the fact that, okay, I get offered it the week of this occurring, a pandemic happens, they shut the country down. And then I pretty much no longer have a job in the OR. That's going to be shut down for at least the foreseeable future for a month or so. And but this other company is saying, hey, we would love for you to be full time. We want you to come on. Business is great over here. The pandemic's not going to affect us necessarily. And, you know, my boss always tells us, like, she's told me this story numerous times, like, the week that they were basically, you know, shut the country down, all of these organizations were calling, you know, the state of Tennessee for like unemployment, things like that. And my, my boss is calling and saying, hey, we're hiring somebody. And they, she remembers the lady at the desk being like, wait, you're hiring somebody? Like the country literally shut down this week. And they're like, yeah, like we think the Lord is going to see us through this. And honestly, it has been just a wild year of we've done exceptionally well. And so working for a company that has believers, you know, that is something that is very valuable for me. And I feel like the Lord just made it way too clear. So wrestling through that, that's something even outside of my job, I feel like if you, I always like to pray, like, Lord, make this as clear as you want it to be. And if it's clear, it will happen. And I mean, he could not have made that any, I mean, like that literally was an answered prayer, could not have made that any more clear.
No, that's good. Thanks for sharing that. Cause I mean, like that was something that like, when I was getting to know you, you were at the tail end of that process of like, you had kind of like, I think, a couple weeks into knowing you was when you put in the 2 weeks for the hospital. And so, you know, it's just was, I didn't get to see that entire thing. So it makes like sense how you got there. And as I've gotten to know you more, I'm like, there's no way that was an easy decision to like go through. Cause you know, just how you process, you want to work hard and you don't want to quit. Like you're one of the most loyal people I've ever met. And so I know that that goes into the workplace as well. So with that, like, is nursing what you're passionate about? Is software what you're passionate about? Like what drives you and motivates you on a day in, day out basis?
I think my primary thing would be I'm passionate about people. And so with this current job opportunity, you know, there was a lot of pros. Monetary, you know, monetary basically reimbursement is better there than it was at the hospital. And so from the financial standpoint, we're able to, you know, kind of from Crossings, we talk about this all the time. There was a, the triangle we used to throw around and it was love God, love people, be a servant. And with that kind of that ideology going into, it's like, how can I love on those people around me and constantly looking at better ways to serve them? you know, this job, I would say I'm passionate about being able to have, you know, the opportunities and the work-life balance to love on those around us.
Yeah.
And this job allows, it checks off all the things on the list. I would say that, I am passionate about nursing, and there's a lot of things that are messed up within our healthcare system.
Yeah.
And so that's tough because they're losing fantastic nurses, you know, left and right. So many of my, you know, great coworkers that I would want them taking care of me if I was, you know, deathly ill, or leaving the field.
Yeah.
Or they're travel nursing for, you know, outrageous pay. And so that's a whole nother, you know, that could be a podcast on its own,
right.
But, you know, being passionate about what the Lord has me in doing, whether that be anything, you know, software right now specifically, is, you know, just get to work with it and do it with excellence. And, but like you said, it took a lot. It was a huge pride thing as well, you know, coming from the ICU where I got to the, you know, top of my unit, and I was, you know, taking certifications that the few even have, and I still have those certifications and, you know, work so hard for those things. But the Lord said, hey, like, you know, I'm not to say you may not circle back to that.
Right.
But I want your heart in a different place right now.
Yeah.
And being able to work in software, open up opportunities for me to be able to serve on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And just have a consistent schedule to sign up for those things that I couldn't beforehand.
Yeah. And I just want, I'll affirm to you and to everyone listening, but like you said, like you loving on the people around you well, and you do that so well. Like, I think anyone that knows you like would say that you and Morgan both do a great job. And I mean, obviously, I feel that way because you're letting me crash in your house while I intern, which I'm super appreciative of. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I definitely see that in you. And so, you know, through all of those things, what, like, over the last, I mean, you could do your entire life if you want to, but, like, what's something that you could go back and tell, like, junior year Steven as he's heading into his nursing program, or even college freshman Steven, like, what's something, if you go back and you tell him, like, hey, if you understand or get this now, things are going to be a whole lot easier for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a lot of things to kind of break down within that question. You know, I would say more than anything, like, your relationship with the Lord is your number one thing. And I wish I would have gotten that sooner in life. You know, as I said, I knew a lot about Jesus, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And we have animals that live here with us. And so, you know, I would say that your relationship is your number one. But going from that, if you, whatever degree you get or whatever the Lord has you doing, basically, that is going to be able to allow you to whatever he opens in the future. I mean, and I'm a pretty large advocate for going to whatever college is free or whatever is the cheapest for you, you know, whether that be a community college for 2 years or doing whatever your state allows. But I'm an advocate for not getting a lot of undergraduate debt because people don't care what your degree, where it's from specifically. Granted, I would not get some, you know, abstract degree that's not going to necessarily, may not relate to what you're specifically wanting to do. But if you have a broad, you know, bachelor's or associates, that's what they're really looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I have a bachelor's in nursing and I work in software now.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, a bachelor was required of any type of bachelor. So, if I could go back in that, I would say, hey, you know, it's all going to be fine. Have a relationship with the Lord and, know that, you know, just during that time, like it's, everything will work out in its due time, and understanding, you know, God's timing is something that takes forever. I'm still learning it.
Same.
And, you know, even this weekend we learned about, you know, answered prayers from RT Kendall. And so like, are we even ready for answered prayers? That still is sticking with me. And, you know, just the fact of understanding, like, if we're praying in God's will, it will happen.
Yeah.
Whether that be what that answer is, you know, is up to what he, you know, what he wills. But, you know, definitely just like get through school and, you know, just enjoy where the Lord has you right then. I'm always forward looking.
Yeah.
And I have to remind myself, like, enjoy where you are. The Lord has you where you are in the people in your sphere
Yeah.
for a reason.
Yeah.
even if it's for a week, a month, a year of your life,
yeah,
those that are around you are there for a reason, and you're there for a reason. Yeah. So be there in that moment. And it's, I'm speaking to myself just as much as anybody else. Like, I'm always like, oh, what's the next thing? The next ski season, the next boat season, the next job. Yeah. And, you know, we're so thankful for the community we have now.
Right.
And I need to be here and in this moment and love on those around us and continue to grow where the Lord has me, because who knows what's next.
Right.
We're not guaranteed next is right. what I always like to say too, yeah. you know.
Yeah. We're not guaranteed our next breath. Yep. And yeah. And you brought it. And so it's funny that you brought it up, because that's the community aspect. Because like, so in for those listening and for you, Stephen, the reason that I wanted to have Stephen on was because literally like as I've listened and like, you know, we've talked through like what the last 2 years look like, I'm like, holy crap. Like I would not have handled this as well as like y'all did, you know, because there are just different things that like I personally would have struggled with. One of those being like y'all's look, y'all searching for community, like moving and all that. And so what would you say like to those listening that are looking for community, mm-hmm. Are trying to figure out how, where do I find friends? Where do I find godly friends? How do I do this well? And are struggling to find the people that they click with and are thinking like, hey, what's wrong with me? Or like, well, what am I doing wrong? And I just know like y'all's story of moving closer to Long Hollow, all those things, like then the pandemic hitting and all that would really, I think would be super helpful for people of just like what you learned and like kind of how y'all navigated that search for community, because, you know, we have a pretty cool crew now.
Yeah.
You know, the Survivor crew, you know, it's a great time.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, prayer and petition was the number one thing during that time. You know, we spent years kind of, as we got married, we were transitioning from my church I grew up in, the church she grew up in. You know, we joked, we had so much community, we had no community at these churches. And so, you know, we just weren't plugged in, dedicated, serving at these specific churches. And so, we're praying for the Lord of like, where we're supposed to go, what's next. You know, we were dating, so I didn't really have necessarily the authority to say, hey, we're going to go to a new church, because right. our families still go to those previous churches. And it was just a kind of a line of, you know, I didn't really have that to say yet. And right. so we got married, and the Lord opened up the path for us to come to Long Hollow. And through that, you know, we knew we were living in Greenbrier, which is, for people listening, about, you know, 30 minutes or so from the church. And we had actually watched this, the house that we are recording in right now that we were looking at. We watched it for over a year. Yeah. It's literally 90 seconds from the church. And we knew that, hey, this is where we would love to raise kids. We were going to be, you know, close to church. And being close to church, we hoped and prayed that the community would come.
Right.
And so we, the Lord opened the path. It was just one of those things. It was a very easy step to basically, you know, purchase this home. We got here, you know, we moved in December 22nd, like 2 days before Christmas.
Right.
Pandemic hits, and we don't have any friends at church. Nobody's going to church.
Right.
And so that was, we were just constantly praying like, Lord, okay, you've ordained all these steps, you've made it very easy, you've made it evident, but we have no community still,
right?
And so then, yeah, so that brings us kind of circling full circle. We go to camp this summer.
Right.
My wife gets to come, and I'm told her before we go, I'm like, hey, it's like Crossings, but yeah. like they do their own thing. It's dope. Like, it's super cool. And we'll just see what happens. And we got to go. And then, you know, my wife loves to tell a story. Like, she was in a wave pool, and then there's this, like, the girl, which, side note, this wave pool is nuts. Like, it is in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee.
On top of a mountain.
And these waves are like 25-foot waves. I'm not joking. Like, they're just outrageous. And they have it turned to like 20%. The guy was telling me about it. There's like people coming from like Switzerland to see it. Like,
really?
Yeah. They literally have this whole thing, because they're the only group that has supposedly mastered waves coming from two different sides of the wave pool. And so there's people in other countries coming to see this specific wave pool, because some like guy, this farmer or something in Eastern Tennessee, had figured out how to do this and helped them do it at the camp.
Yeah.
And so there's literally, like, that week we were there, there was somebody from Germany coming in. That was coming.
I did not know that.
There's like a whole thing with it. So this wave pool is super legit. But my wife was in there, and then basically they're getting all slung around, and my wife, like, this girl grabs onto her tube, and they just start talking, and little we know that was Corinne, which is the youth pastor Grant, his wife, and then literally just like a great friendship sparked from that. And so then we move forward. We you know get to meet kind of everybody in their circle, and that's how you were kind of involved in that as well. And then next thing I know, we got a 7-foot man living in our upstairs hanging out with us. And now we've got a whole gaming crew and everybody's always at the hill. So
it's a good time. It is wild how quickly it all happened too. Cause I mean, this camp's middle of the summer and it was easily end of the summer. It's like, all right, we're all going out together on the lake, or we're all hanging out at Huffine Hill, because this wonderful house sits on top of a hill, and it's really cool. Just like when I walked up and saw Huffine Hill on, I was like, that is awesome. And so led to Huffine Hill Hotline, which is a group message with me, Steven, and Morgan. But it was wild. Like when y'all talked about that, just the patience that whether you had it or you were required to have it, either way, I would have stressed out. I know me personally, I would have been like, I have to find this. But community is something that like I've learned a lot about over the last year, just through a lot of different things. And so it was just cool to like see that kind of what, because I gave a sermon on community in the summer, and just to see like you guys, without knowing what I was going to preach on or like have already lived what I was preaching on. It was just cool. As we kind of wrap up, Steven, it's called My Friends Are Cool. So what makes you cool?
Man, I've thought about that question. I don't really know what to say other than, I always joke with my wife, like, I don't know. I'm always doing something, and you can ask anybody around me. Like I'm always messing with stuff around the house.
Piddling.
That's what we like to call it here in the South. And I have a bachelor's degree in nursing, and I work at a farm. I till pumpkins. I work for a software company and auditioned for Survivor. I just, just like we're a jack of all kinds of things. And so, I always like to joke like novice of all, master of none kind of thing.
Right.
And so I just try to learn a little bit about everything and try to be, meet people where they're at and be relatable. And whether that means I'm doing dang TikTok dances with people and I don't dance, or, whatever the crew's got us doing.
Right.
So I don't know. What do you think?
There's a lot that I could, the adventures you and Morgan take are so cool. Getting to like, yesterday joked about, just the hints, like how you picked up on hints with Morgan. It's been cool to watch that of just like, not to put all this pressure, but like if there's someone that I've met recently, I'm like, I want to be a husband like that guy. It's definitely you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Because like, basically.
If you're learning all the wrong things to do,
literally Morgan was like, what should I do? This? Should I do this? She's like, I'm going to go ask Steven. She comes in. She's like, yep, he told me to do this, this, and this, which was nothing related to what she was actually trying to do, which was just Steven saying like, hey, you actually just want to rest, so just go do that.
Yeah,
and
go take a breather. Think about it a little bit.
I don't know if she asked you the same way she asked me, but I didn't pick up on that at all. But that's why you're married to her. And so, it's cool just getting to do life together. The fact what you can do out on a wakeboard, it's super cool because I can never do that. At least I don't think I can. I think my knees would snap in half before I could.
We'll get you out on some skis this winter. We'll get you out in Utah.
Hey, I'm down. I really do. That is on my bucket list, is to go snowboarding or skiing. We can't have a podcast together and not plug the Hill 615 on Twitch.
That's right. Follow us.
It is subpar streaming, but it is
decent gameplay.
Decent gameplay.
Video and commentary is less than optimal.
Mostly, I didn't realize how difficult it is to have conversation while also playing, because I'm just like, I want to win. Yeah. So I focus. And
it's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's like
the whole thing.
I can't imagine what streamers are like when they're not trying to talk, and they're actually able to fully focus on the game. Which kind of makes me feel even worse about how I play. That was cool. If you haven't seen it yet, you can go look at my Instagram, my reels, or Steven's reels. You put it on your Instagram, right?
I think
so. The transformation.
Yeah.
That was a ton of fun, just getting to surprise Zach and Grant, the other two in our little group that plays together, with this completely transformed room, which is actually a funny story because y'all were at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember. I think I just sent you a picture of
sent me like a picture of a sign, and were like, we should do this,
and then it just like exploded into, well, let's just transform the entire office into this game room.
So then my whole vacation was ruined because then I'm like having to just figure out what I'm going to do when I get home. And so it quickly turned on, like, I mean, I got up at like 5 a.m. the morning to come home from the beach. Like, I got to get home. I got stuff to do. I got to flip this room. I was like, you know, I set unrealistic deadlines on myself. And so I'm like, Friday, got to have it done. And so I'm like working. Alec and Mayo are working every night until like 2 a.m. in the morning, cutting pieces of wood and doing new LED lights and all kinds of stuff. But
yeah, running Ethernet cables throughout the entire.
Yeah, we are hardwired into the mainframe. That is it. I tell you,
we are good to go.
We are good.
We will not lag.
We will still die, but we will not
still
lag.
Die. We'll still die, but we'll not lag. So no, but if you do want to watch, we haven't gone live in a while. We're trying to figure out we have an interesting setup. We're all four of us are in the same room, so the mic situation is something we've got to figure out. Like, there's a lot we're working through. It's a work in progress. But if you watch, you'll at least be entertained by Steven's, what would the right word, expressions isn't the right word, but whatever you say when you're surprised.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You know, things just come out and it's like, nothing bad. It's just like, what, Steven, where did that come from?
If you got some ideas about the mic, you just let, you
yeah,
put,
yeah,
yeah,
just drop, drop some messages our way.
Yeah.
So I think, man, Steven, I, you know, last thing and we'll be done. But what are you excited about coming up? What are you excited about that you're allowed to talk about? Because Steven does a ton of surprises for Morgan, and I feel like we'll most likely listen to this. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, there's some things in the pipeline for her. I would say kind of just, summertime, big boat people. Wintertime, yeah. We're big ski people. So, got season passes out at Brighton and Salt Lake City. So, we'll be doing a lot out there.
Yeah.
Got Alec will be holding down the homestead with the doggos. Animals. Yeah. And so, we'll probably do some traveling out there and work remote and do some skiing. So, looking forward to that. But honestly, just looking forward to this season of, going into spring and what it's going to look like with our community. And I'm just excited for the opportunities for you and what that looks like more at Long Hollow. And just looking forward to what the Lord's going to do over this next year. And excited for how the job's going to be. So I'm continuing to have more responsibilities at work, which is things I did not go to school for. So learning on the job, but it's been good. And so looking forward to some powder and out west. And so trying to be enjoying the time here and what's coming up in the next few weeks. And honestly, Christmas will be next, and that's probably my favorite holiday of the year. So anybody that drives by the hill, they can see it from B&A when they fly in every night with all the lights on it. So we're gonna see if we can outdo ourselves next year with more lights.
Right.
Just looking forward to that and what the Lord has in store in the next couple months.
For sure. Favorite Christmas song? Quick rapid fire section.
I can only think of like "Hear Them Sleigh Bells Ringing." Okay. I don't know.
It's lovely. Sleigh ride together with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it sleigh ride?
I think
this is so bad. People don't judge us for that. Yeah, that one. That's the one that came
along. Oh, it's gonna bother me, Mom. Whenever you listen, let me know what song that is.
Yeah.
She's usually the one that texts me and goes, "It's this song, or it's this movie, or whatever." that was question number. Who's gonna win Survivor? Who's your pick?
I'm pulling hard for Xander right now.
Me too.
He's a young gun. I think he's a little less intimidating, like compared to Joe. I think he's got a strong physical game.
Yeah.
He's playing he's pretty good social game.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping, but if he doesn't win some immunities, he's going to have a target on his head.
For sure. And if you're not watching the Survivor this season, I don't know. How is this in ranking to most
Survivors?
Yeah. Is this a good season?
Well,
or is
them
this
not
a
having
season?
Food is a big, that's a big twist this year. Like that, they normally have rice.
Oh.
So, I'm wondering how that's changing the overall gameplay. I mean, I think that they're a lot weaker than they normally are. A lot of people say, I mean, you look at some of those challenges where people have done it for an hour and a half, some of those balanced games or whatever. And then you look at this season, like the longest one was like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like they really are that,
deprived.
Yeah,
depleted.
Nutritionally deprived. So trying to figure out what that's going to do to the overall game. But I would say from a physical standpoint, this is definitely not the strongest group that's come through. Shameless plug, I've applied twice. So if Jeff Trost, you ever listen to this one day, brother, put me on there, man.
Hey,
so.
You want him. You want him. and then final thing, you ever going to make the jump to Xbox? You want to see Halo? We'll go up and I can show you Halo.
Yeah, we'll have to see what we got going on there. My wife may hurt me if I try to purchase anything else. And those of you who know us, money, I like to spend it. My wife likes to save it. So we got to work through that. But PS5 is what I got right now, and we're going to hold strong to it.
You know, you can sell the PS5, get the Xbox, and the mini fridge.
And the mini fridge, and live in my shop. So there's...
Oh, Steven, it was so good having you on.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for being on. And thank you guys for listening. Like I said, kind of the future, like where I've been, what's been going on, all that, that's going to release in an episode probably 30 minutes after this one. I'll put them back to back. But I would encourage you to go listen to that just to get an update on things. And if you, I still have tons of t-shirts. If you want to buy one, they're, if I have to ship it to you, it will be $20 because that is the cost of shipping plus $10. So, but if you are in the Nashville area and you want one, I can get it to you for $10 because that is all they cost. So anyways,
I have one more thing.
Okay.
Shameless plug. If, depending on the demographic of this group, but if you're looking for some financial advice,
yeah,
I highly recommend the book, The Little Book of Common Sense Investing.
Okay.
It's by John Bogle.
Okay.
It's all about index funds.
What was that again?
The Little Book of Common Sense Investing.
I'm going to have to
go had it from
myself.
Was given it to me from a very wise a friend of ours who's a multimillionaire.
Nice.
And and so just being at the age that we are in 20s and things like that, minimal investments by the time you're 60 or so when you're ready to retire will be in the millions by being very low before. I mean, there's numerous studies on $10,000 of investments being well over a million by the time you're 60.
Gotcha.
So do that when you're young. That's just a little shameless plug. I was going to talk about that earlier, but
yeah, no,
that's kind of been one of those things that just kind of recently got through that. And there's a wealth of knowledge. It's really easy read.
Yeah.
Breaks it down for, I would say, common folk like me.
Yeah.
And so it would be something beneficial for a lot of people, especially when you're young. So there's no time like the now.
I'll personally go get it. Is it the mutual fund approach?
You can use my pocket. Yeah. Or my copy of it. Yeah. Sweet. It's just the, it's talking about index funds and how they are always kind of, adjusting to the market to always be kind of the most profitable ones.
Yeah.
Granted, you're not going to become a millionaire overnight with them.
Right.
But they're going to yield, 8 to 12% a year.
Yeah.
Minimum. Some of them more. And so kind of up there with mutual funds and things like that. So, something interesting for some of your listeners.
Sweet. What was the name of it again?
It is The Little Book of Common Sense Investing
by John Bogle. Little Book of Common Sense Investing by John Bogle.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Highly recommend it. Had a buddy who I highly trust as well as he's a good role model of ours, and he's a multimillionaire, and he's a big believer in index funds.
Sweet. All right.
Pass it on.
Absolutely. So with that, that has been this episode of My Friends Are Cool podcast. So I will talk to you guys later. See ya.